Ready to start. Turn this on.
Nicely.
Hey, do you want to pass those out?
Yeah, where are they at?
I think they're over there.
We just do everything?
You got the agenda?
I'm sorry?
You got the agenda?
Yeah, right here. Right here.
Does Jamie not have an agenda?
It's over there. He just didn't grab it.
Oh, I thought she put one over there.
I didn't see one, but. Is there anybody else coming in or anything that you know of?
I think a couple people are having a conversation in the lobby.
Would you ask and see if they're coming in and we can get started?
Yeah.
We're just going to check on a couple people outside and see if they're coming in or not, and then we'll get started. And do we have people online? I take it we do. 3 people? 4 people? Okay. Do you need more chairs?
No, there's still 3 more of yours to pull.
We have a chair in here, ma'am. Come on in.
Chairs over here.
There's some chairs over here for you. We'll get more if you need them. Okay. All righty. This is Tuesday, January 28, 2025. It's 3:00 in the afternoon, and this is a Mifflin Township having a public hearing, open hearing on TIFs. Will you do roll call, please?
Chair Kavanagh.
Here.
Vice Chair Leesburg.
Here.
And then Trustee Angelou's about 10 minutes late, but he'll be here. Interim Chief, Fire Chief Davis. Director Boggs, Service
here.
Director, and then IT Director May.
Here.
All right.
Okay. And we also have Nate Green that's going to help with the explanation of the TIF. If everybody would please stand for the pledge of allegiance. Are we ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming. This is glad to see that the residents saw what we mailed out to everybody and that you have questions, and we'll gladly explain everything to what we're trying to do here in Mifflin Township. Ask if Jamie Leesburg has anything to say.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple folks from the township, and I understand there's some confusion or some questions, so it's a good opportunity to ask those questions and get some answers and try and figure out what's going on. So, again, I appreciate you guys coming out. So.
Okay. I'm going to open this up to Nate Green of the Montrose Group. They are the ones that helped us create the TIF, and I think it would be the best person to explain exactly what it does for Mifflin Township and for you as the residents. So, Nate, I'll leave it up to you.
Sure. Yes, my name is Nate Green from the Montrose Group, and we're the economic development consultant to the township. You all have in front of you a 2-pager that I'm going to go through. Chief, what's your official title? Deputy Chief Lee. I mean, I just would have said Tommy. So, anyway, you all have that in front of you. The purpose, as Trustee Kavanagh said, is to talk about this incentive district TIF. So it's an incentive district Tax Increment Finance District. It is what these TIFs do, and you kind of have it in front of you there. It allows townships to take 75% of new taxes, not existing taxes, new taxes in an area, and redirect them to public infrastructure improvements in that area, but also in other areas of the township. And I think one of the things I want to point out, and it's in here, I pointed out a couple times, but I'll say it a couple times. The TIF does not raise taxes. By putting this in place for anybody that owns a parcel there, owns a home there, you're not going to see any increase in your taxes. If there is in this area, and we'll talk about it, and I think you probably all know the area because you maybe have seen the maps. But if there is new development in the area, so if there's new homes built, or if there are buildings built, whatever the case may be, that new property tax, the property taxes from those homes, from the new development, from the new buildings, that would all go into the TIF. Because the TIF, the Tax Increment Finance District, is in place, again, I think it's important for everybody here to understand that doesn't do anything for your taxes. It doesn't raise your taxes. It really does not impact you as far as your taxes go. The way it would impact you is that increase in property taxes from new development, and I'll also say if for whatever reason there's a reassessment of your homes and there is an increase in your property taxes because of that reassessment, some of that would go to the TIF, but not the existing property taxes. But the other way that this would impact you positively is that the township can use these dollars, these property tax dollars, to pay for public infrastructure improvements. And that's the whole intent, is to use those property those increase in property tax dollars to pay for public infrastructure improvements. And so if there are infrastructure improvements that need to be made, roads, sewer, water, any things that you would think of as public, if there's lighting that goes in, if there's storm sewers, any of those kind of things that are public assets, the TIF can pay for that. So I'll just quickly kind of go through this. I already talked about. But if you look at the middle there, the simplest explanation of what the TIF revenue, what the TIF does, and the way it generates revenue, is there's an investment in building. Typically, that's a new building, but it could be an expansion or a renovation of a building that raises the value of the building. So that building investment, it increases the value of a building. Or it's a completely new building and there's new property taxes. That increase in the building value increases it allows for new property taxes, and 75% of those new property taxes over a 10-year period go into the TIF fund to pay for public infrastructure improvements. Those 75% of those increase in property taxes, there's new revenues, and again, I point out it's new revenues, it's not existing revenues, and it's not an increase in your property taxes, can go towards public infrastructure improvements that the township can do. And this is, I think it's also important to understand that you're all township residents or township property owners. These are your elected officials, and they're going to be the ones that are going to direct where this money's going to go. So that's also an important distinction as well. This isn't going to a city. This isn't going to the city of Columbus. It's not going to Gahanna. This isn't going to Franklin County. This is going to Mifflin Township, to the trustees. Yes?
I have a question.
Sure.
On the road behind me, I think it's Minnesota.
Okay.
Is there any way
to get I mean, I think that's a specific example. I think that's something we'd have to look into.
Do you know that area right there, Roger?
I know the area, but I'm not sure I understand the question. If you...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Behind you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right there.
Sure.
The county never went down that road with piping. There's no sewer, there's no sewer line, there's no water line. There's
right.
So when people buy that, I mean...
So...
I understood they were going to put, like, a park in there, and I thought, well, that sounds good.
So typically, the developer would incur those costs to bring the services to them. So they would be paying for that. So what this TIF does, again, is it gives us the opportunity to, again, as right now, there on day one, there won't be any money in the TIF. And, Nate, again, I'm familiar with the way the city runs them.
Absolutely.
So the township does it differently. But what happens is a developer comes in and says, hey, I want to build this. I want to build this project. And we look at it and say, well, you're required to have a 4-foot sidewalk. We'd rather have you have a nice 6-foot sidewalk and some planter beds. And I said, well, you can't legally make me do that. I said, no, but we can offer you some money that basically when you build this, it'll be worth more than it was. That difference in tax money, instead of going someplace else, and I'll get into other places it could go, would stay here in the town. And once that fund builds up, they can ask for reimbursement for those things that were above and beyond. And so we can ask them to make a nicer project. They can come in and say, hey, there's no sewer in the area. Can I use some of the TIF money to put a sewer in? And we decide what that money gets spent for. So we can. So again, that money can be used for any kind of public improvements. Now, again, typically the developer would incur that cost to do the project. But, again, anything we ask them that's above and beyond, we can help with that and those kind of incentives. I mentioned where the money normally goes. The money, the baseline, and the letter said freeze your property values, and that kind of, you know, I heard some people say, I want my property value to continue to go up, but it doesn't change the value of the property. What it does is it freezes it in time. If it's worth $100,000 today, based on that $100,000, anything above that, the taxes that you would owe on that increase, from then on, it is the money that we're talking about. Things like MRDD or the library or the zoo or those kind of things. If you get your tax bill, the school is a huge, huge piece of it, and then all those other things get money out of your taxes. They still get paid on that baseline as of the day that we start this thing. What they don't get is the extra money when we negotiate with a developer and come in and build something, because they really didn't. I mean, we have a zoo in the area, but that's not why somebody's building in Mifflin Township. So we capture that money to do something nice in Mifflin Township, if that makes sense. Nate, is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you made another good point. There's not going to be any money in this fund for a while. There's only going to be TIF dollars when there's new development that happens. So, you know, whenever the trustees decide, if they decide to pass this, it's not the next day there's going to be a pot of money. It will take years for that to build up.
Part of the reason for this is as the development happens, a lot of the area is going to get annexed into Columbus. It's just nature, and we can't do anything about it. When a developer comes in and they want services like water and sewer and those kind of things, if they don't have them from the county, they're going to have to go to Columbus to get them. Gahanna is not allowed to serve them. There's an agreement that Gahanna can't come out and serve them. And if they want public water and public sewer, they're going to have to go to Columbus. And Columbus will require them to annex into the Columbus. So when that happens, this is a way. Again, if a developer came in and bought.
That's not, I mean, we have water and sewer.
Right. But again, that's what I'm saying. There are some areas that don't. And as those, they will get annexed into the city of Columbus. and then we have no control over what happens to them. So what we want to do is set this money up so as that happens, we can require a developer to do nicer things and fix roads and do those kind of things.
Because it just seems, I mean, I can understand, you know, trying to fix the neighborhood. I can understand that part. And I'm sorry. I paid to put my sewer in. I paid to put my water in.
Right. No. So you won't pay another. You won't pay any more than you're currently paying right now.
TIF money.
Right, but the TIF money isn't from you. The TIF money isn't your money. If your house is worth $100,000 today and it doesn't change value, then it doesn't. You don't put any money in the TIF, and you still owe those property taxes. What it is again, as Nate said, if it's worth $100,000 and we put another $400,000 building on it. Say it's an office building or a big apartment building, something like that. That's the money that goes in the TIF, is that extra, that increment. So it's a tax increment financing. This is a funding mechanism for us. When a developer comes in or something happens, and it's happening, we see it all the time. We get a notice from Columbus that says, hey, we're taking somebody's property, and there's nothing we can do about it. What we're trying to do is stop it or get something for it. It's going to happen, so we want to benefit for some. No.
Oh, no, they want you now.
Oh, now they do?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. With everything that's going out east of us, the housing market and everything else, and being as close to Easton and all those kind of things.
2 miles from Easton.
We get calls all the time from Columbus that says, hey, we're going to annex something. And we say, well, what do we do about that? What do we do? And then they say, there's nothing you can do. It was just a courtesy call. We let you know this is going to happen. So there's nothing we can do. So what we're trying to do is kind of protect the neighborhoods and say, great, when this development happens, some of that money should stay in here to take care of the roads around the area.
Yeah, we're trying to keep you in Mifflin instead of getting annexed out of Mifflin. And this is our way of doing it.
Why not partner with the city if you know they're going to come in?
Well, again, we have zoning requirements and those kind of things. That's what we can do. But we can't provide water and sewer. So there's nothing we can do to stop that. If somebody came in and wanted to buy up 10 of your neighbors and put an apartment house in there, there's nothing we can do about it because they're going to go to Columbus, and Columbus will allow it. So what we're trying to do, again, is preserve some of the neighborhood and keep some of that money that would just go other places to build this fund to try and do nice things in the township, if that makes sense.
And, man, I will get to you right after I'm done with this comment. And then if you get annexed into Columbus, even though you're still – in technically Mifflin Township, if you call for police, you get Columbus police. You don't get Mifflin police. And so they don't have mutual aid like fire does. And so you'll wait longer to get Columbus police there when Mifflin could be right around the corner. They wouldn't get dispatched to you. So we're trying to keep everything in Mifflin Township like it is and grow Mifflin Township instead of Columbus eating us up, and you don't get the services. Ma'am, you had your hand up.
So I really want to hear what this gentleman has to say, because I know he said he was going to walk us through this document, because I have lots of questions. I think you might answer them, but
sure.
I'll ask them, maybe.
Sure.
You can deal with them how you please, but the issue that I'm having, I understand how TIF works, I get it, all that stuff, but over the last 5 years or so, Mifflin Township, thanks to Winter Park, has seen a significant increase in tax revenue because of all the new homes that have been built there. So my one question is, what are you going to do with that money? Because I haven't seen any type of improvement in our community over the last 3 years that I've been there. And then I'm really curious about why now. So, like, why wasn't this done 5 years ago? We talk about different public improvements to the community. Do the residents have any type of input on what that is? We need streets. We need curbs, we need sidewalks, we need lights. It would be nice to have something to block the freeway noise. So do we get to have any influence on what you do with those funds? And you keep talking about annexing to Columbus. You know, that might be something that the residents need to have a conversation about, because I don't know that all of that is bad either, depending on the situation mm-hmm. that we find ourselves in. So it's just very frustrating to live in Mifflin Township and to pay significantly higher taxes than the majority of the suburbs around. But when I walk outside, I don't even have a street light. I don't have a sidewalk. I don't have curbs. People park all around everywhere because there's nowhere to park. So it's just like, what have you been doing with the money? Why now? And maybe
Can I answer all those questions?
Go ahead.
I don't know that I can answer the first question, but I will tell you that townships, you know, they don't get a lot of money from your property taxes. So even if there's are a lot of raises, they've got to use that all throughout the township. Am I incorrect in saying that?
I mean, if you look at your breakdown of your taxes, the township is very little out of X amount of dollars that you are paying. I mean, Jamie mentioned the zoo. You pay for the zoo. The zoo is in Dublin, Ohio.
It's at Delaware County. It's actually in Delaware County.
But you pay for the zoo.
And so there's a
lot of things in your taxes that you pay for that Mifflin Township doesn't see. We don't get, if your taxes are $10,000, we don't get $10,000 from you.
So there's that. I think the other thing is, you know, cities, Columbus, Kahana, they charge an income tax. The township cannot do that. So then there's other services they can provide from that as well. I think you had a question about annexation. You know, that is, I mean, certainly you could annex any time that you want. There's really, you live in a township. There's advantages, a lot of advantages to you living in a township. One of those being you don't have income tax to pay. But I think to Jamie's point, you know, really, this really has to do with new development that's going to occur here. 5 years ago, there probably were not those pressures, and that's probably why the township didn't do it. I wasn't here, but I'm just guessing that's why that didn't happen. Now there's a lot more development pressures. You all know it. They happen just to cross Stelzer Road from you. You see it all the time. You drive down Stelzer, you keep, you know, going north. There's on the east side or the west side of the road, there's all kinds of development that's happened. Those pressures are happening not only, you know, in this area that we're talking about on the west or the east side of Stelzer. I can't get my east and west right, but on the east of the sides of Stelzer, but it's happening in the rest of the township as well. So this is I think as the trustees have said, part of this is a defense to allow the township when those developments occur, when that pressures occur, that money comes back to the township and they can use it not only for those developments, but then potentially for other things in the township. That's the goal.
I've not heard anything about freezing. No. That'd be something that Franklin County's doing, and they haven't told us about.
I was just saying, my day job. I'm a civil engineer. I've been doing that for about 35 years, and before this, I was a city councilman in Gahanna. Been a Mifflin resident, got it going on almost 18 years now. But as a civil engineer, I know we've got several projects going on in Franklin County, so I don't know that they've stopped any development. Yeah, well, I was gonna say with as much stuff that's going on out in Pickaway County and everything else, everybody's building right now. So, stormwater drainage and things. Again, there may be something now. Again,
so stormwater some building was slowed way up by the stormwater regulations that are going on. So Franklin County could try to figure out a good plan because Franklin County does oversee all of our permitting and zoning for the township. They wanted to upgrade the open ditches. With stormwater regulations now, when you build a home, sump pumps, downspouts, everything needs to run into a closed pipe as opposed to an open ditch. Building happened overnight in Leonard Park. Just like you said, it was quiet, a sleepy little neighborhood, and now it's booming. And it's starting to pick up again. It stopped for a while because some of those permits were slowed down. And what they're trying to do is get a hold of everything so that they can get it corrected. But no permits at this point have been completely stopped as far as building. They are still working on things. We have applied for an OPWC grant 3 times and been turned down because we didn't score high enough compared to New Albany, Upper Arlington. Different entities around us have gotten those grants, and we didn't score high enough to get them. So if you look in here, down the road, if we're not getting the grants or we don't have the funds yet, and we'll get more We'll get more down the road, but if we don't get it, then we'll have this funds in the TIF to help do stormwater, to help do sidewalks. Litter Park was built with narrow roads to go in there and widen those roads and then add sidewalks. Now we're taking your front yards away. So, you know, that's something that is being looked at by economic and development. But is it... So the gravel alleys, not necessarily. But as far as the alleyways and the roadways, with all the building going on, it would be crazy for us to come in and do anything right now. If you notice, Earl Avenue got done.
That's going away.
As you notice, Earl Avenue got done. At the end of the building for Earl Avenue, we had a deal with the contractor at the time in the township, and we split the difference on the paving. And that's why Earl Avenue got done as quick as it did when the building was done. But if you look at the rest of the area, there's a lot of lots down there to build. So we'll try to keep the roads in as great as condition as we can until the roads are almost complete before we start doing any major road work.
My mother still lives in Mifflin Township. I grew up on Mifflin Boulevard, tiny till I moved out in the military. You guys can't see the future, so you didn't know this needed to be done 5 years ago. So what they're doing now is, thank you, about time. And that's not an insult. It's like you understand what's happening now. You're trying to stop your money, any money you make on your real estate, from going out of the township. They're trying to capture money that would be going to the zoo. Correct me if I'm
no, you're right so far.
But right now, all of your income money is spread out for schools, for libraries, for zoos, things that you have nothing to do with, personally. And that was one of my first questions. Like, man, this should happen a long time ago before in development. I mean, but we can't see the future, so we don't know. I have background in developing and building homes and this and that and the other. Again, I grew up there. I see other people that grew up there. The draw of that neighborhood was it was underdeveloped. It was a quiet little place. Streetlights, we didn't wait for the streetlights to come on. When it was dark, you got home. Okay? There were no streetlights as the warning.
Right.
But you better be in the back door before it got dark. Okay. So that's the draw of the neighborhood is the smaller streets, the quiet little town. You don't want Columbus getting involved. Okay. And I'm not bad-mouthing Columbus. I've worked for them. But it is two different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. And Columbus honestly does not care who about that area. All you're not going to get special treatment because you're in Columbus. And so you have
I wasn't suggesting
Columbus,
but you guys bring it up every time we come, and then when we say, well, show us the budget, what have we been spending our money on? Oh, we don't have it. Oh, we can't find it. Oh, it's not available on the website. So I'm just confused about where the money is going. And so, you know, so then and every time I come here, I just hear, oh, we don't want to annex the Columbus. We don't want to annex the Columbus. And I'm like, so what's really going on? It's just not very, it doesn't feel transparent to me. And then on top of that, I have to deal with neighbors who have been racist, who have their dogs chasing after my children. They've made it very clear that they don't want us there, even though we were just trying to find a beautiful neighborhood for our kids and a safe neighborhood for our kids, too. So then I come here and it's like, oh, we don't want to annex. We don't want to annex. But what are we spending our money on? And nobody has been able to answer that question.
You have every right to be here as anybody else. And if you're being harassed, then you call the police and we'll make sure it's...
They call the police on me all the time. I don't want to call the police. I want to be a good neighbor.
I want you to be protected just like anybody else. I want anybody else to be protected. So nobody is going to get harassed for any reason in Mifflin Township. That's what I love about this community and the police and fire, any first responder. We're here for the people, and we're not going to tolerate anything like that. When it comes to how it was... 5 years ago, you know, like this gentleman said, if we saw the future, we would have done this 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But we did not see it coming. And then as soon as we realized it, we jumped on it. And it takes a while to do this. And through Battalion Chief Lee's knowledge of Nate, we got him in here, and here we are. And so... we're bringing everybody in to let them know. We're trying to be that transparency.
Yeah. Jamie's a civil engineer. I'm a history major. And I've been on this township board since 94. Okay, that's 30 years. And Joe and the other trustees, we went to the county commissioners and beg them to get water for us at Leonard Park. How many of you live in Leonard Park? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you do not have water in Leonard Park originally? Okay, we worked on that. We would bring water from the wells to 200 feet deep, and they'd be all like tea, look like iced tea. They came to us, maybe some of you did, and they said, can you do something about the water? We go to Columbus and said, yeah, we'll do something. We'll, if they annex, we'll give them water. People didn't want to annex, and I understand that because, like you say, the lifestyles are different. However, we were able to get grants to try to dig the wells deeper, and we got one time $50,000, another $75,000 to dig them deeper and try to get better water. The water came out not like iced tea, but like, you know, almost like iced tea. And we still went back and still couldn't get it. Then, and now you can all answer this, when did Leonard Park get water? Casino was in a township, and they didn't have water. And Columbus had to give them water, and they couldn't give it to them and not give it to us. We spent $350,000 initially to get the money to get the water into Leonard Park. So we do what we can do when we can do it, and it was a strain on our budget, but we were able to get water there because I know people. How many of you went to our pump during the winter and filled up your buckets? Okay. Millions. We did 1 million gallons of water a day, and we knew we had to do that for you. So we tried to do what we can do, and luckily we have a civil engineer here, and we've got Roger and everybody else on the case and trying to do it. The idea is that you're not getting taxed, but, you know, and you're only 2 miles from Easton, so who knows what your property is going to be worth. I can't read the future, but I would guess that you're sitting, as the commercial says, on a gold mine.
Real quick, you asked about why now and why not before, and Dick alluded a little bit. I've been here less than a year, but again, every meeting I came to, we were getting letters from Columbus saying, hey, we're annexing these properties, and Mr. Kavner said, hey, how do we stop that? And I said, the reality is we can't stop it, but we can kind of defend ourselves and help the folks that don't want to sell and want to stay here get nicer things, and this is one of the ways we can do that. And so that's when we brought Nate in to have this conversation. So this is, again, this is a funding mechanism for the township to get some money that won't cost you any more. Again, as long as your property doesn't change. Now, if you put $1 million building on your property taxes are going to go up and you owe that money. But, again, it's where the money goes, whether it stays here locally or gets spread out all over the county and even into Delaware County. So that's, again, we can save up to about 75%. And again, if anybody wants to, we can pull up your property on the auditor, show your tax bill, and it will tell you 50% of it goes to the schools and 25% of it goes to this and 10% of it goes to this, and it'll tell you how much, and it'll be, you know, 3 or 4% goes here. And again, you know, we get very little of your money, and again, everybody's paying taxes, and I know the auditor's assessment came out within the last 6 months, and everybody was shell-shocked at how much it went up. Now, part of that is, again, all the development out east. Again, as a civil engineer, I go by and I buy land, I buy easements, those kind of things. When people were, you know, selling them for $500,000 an acre, it was $20,000 because they didn't care what it cost because they needed the land. They were buying it. Now everybody thinks their land is worth that. And the auditor said, great, I'll make your land worth that too, and raised everybody's taxes. That's, again, all development that's going on all over the place is what's driving that. And again, it's happening way out east, but it's impacting us because they have – Morpsey does circles, basically half an hour out and an hour out. And so people are willing to drive between a half an hour and an hour to work. And so anybody in that circle, the value of your property has gone up because somebody might want to buy your place and drive out to those new jobs. So anyway, that's the background. And again, why we're doing that now, why we're doing this thing now. But again, very little of your taxes. I shouldn't say, you know, again, we can look at it and tell you how much of your whole tax bill actually comes to us. And again, we have several different things. We've got fire that we have to maintain. We have police that we have to maintain. And the rest of it goes to the service. So anyway, Nate, if you want to get back into.
That's all right. We can continue with all questions right. If you're
questions,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very quick basic question.
Sure.
Is this all of Milton,
No.
No.
That's just the...
This is a target area that we've identified as the most likely to develop first. There are some other places that aren't developed that are still in the unincorporated area that we've identified. This is the biggest contiguous piece that we can get. It's easy to describe. So, again, what we've asked you to do, again, if you're okay with it, your parcel number gets put into a database, and whenever that parcel develops and the property taxes go up, we get the money. So that's all that you're agreeing to, is that your property, when it goes up, the difference stays here.
The TIF does not cause it to go up.
Right.
It stays the same unless Franklin County raises it or somebody else raises it. Then we'll get a percentage of that raise, but that's it.
I think there's also one other question online as well.
All right. Whoever has a question online?
He has his hand up. Peter?
So this is Peter Quinn.
Hey, Mr. Quinn.
Number of questions.
Okay.
Number one, how long have you been working on this?
On the TIF?
About
3 or 4 months is when we contacted Nate and had him bring it to the board. And then we, through the process, we're here today.
Yeah, I came in April. I listened to Kevin complain about Columbus annexing everything for a couple months, and then we called Nate.
So. I've been complaining about Columbus going to Columbus ever since I've been a trustee. So. It just irritates me that it happens.
So if you're wondering why people are skeptical, well, you've been working on this for 3 or 4 months. You send out a letter out on that, and then you tell everybody they have to opt in 4 days after this meeting. You know, and I'm asking in the letter that I sent to you that the opt-in or opt-out provision gets extended for 30 days. What do you say about that?
We've already talked to Nate about that.
I think we agreed to do that.
Yeah.
And it's not opt-in or opt-out. If you're in, okay, unless you say that you don't want to be, and then you can opt out.
Right.
And we are going to extend that because that really – It's determined by when you all are going to hold a vote on this.
And the only reason to act as quickly as we are, as soon as this thing was done, we wanted to act on it, is because, again, as soon as it's enacted, we freeze that value. If somebody comes in and develops something or does an improvement between now and when it goes into place, we lose that revenue, if that makes sense. We lose that delta. So that's the only reason for acting as fast as we did. But no, we've actually talked about it at last Tuesday's meeting, and agreed that we're gonna extend that date.
Yeah, so we're not trying to rush it so you guys can't think about it. We're just trying to protect the township.
Yes. And I think the other thing to note is that letter that went out, that was really, I mean, we did that as soon as we could, right? When the trustees had decided this was the direction that we wanted to take this, then the letters went out. So, you know, there wasn't any, it was transparent. I mean, that's what we were trying to do. We're the economic development consultant to the township, and we get paid a fee for that service.
Yeah, it was a contracted amount, and basically what they did for us was identify the properties, come up with the list, come up with the map, and again, it's got to be undeveloped. We're looking at the properties that are undeveloped and in the unincorporated areas, those kind of things. So that's the work that they did for us, is to compile that list of properties and then get the mailing list together and get it all sent out. So that's what they did for us.
Okay. All right. How is the community going to be involved in this going forward?
We always encourage the community to come in, either to the meetings, voicemail, email. We always want input. So we don't want this to be a one-time thing. I mean, you're welcome to get a hold of any trustee. You're welcome to come to a meeting, however you want to do it.
Yeah, and one.
So, I think we would all expect that you would do regular publications of your communication and your meeting so we understand exactly what's transpiring and why.
Okay.
Can you commit to that?
One of the things I've actually asked for with the new fiscal officer is to basically have a balance sheet, which will show the balance in income, expenditures, and a balance sheet for all of our different funds moving forward. And again, like I said, I'm new as of April. We've got a new fiscal officer that's happened since then. And again, basically it'll be an easier understanding of where all the different funds sit, how they're doing, and those kind of things. So yeah, absolutely. And this TIF fund will be one of those things that, again, as the money comes in, we'll want to know how much is in it, because a developer will come in and say, hey, can I have some of that TIF money? And the reality is the first guy in is probably the first guy that gets some, again, because it's kind of I've always treated this as almost like a reimbursement. If they're putting something in and they've got an expense, they can get it paid for that way if we've asked them to do something above and beyond. So yes, absolutely, we will have, we'll have a TIF fund that will have a balance running, a running balance, and how much money came in every time we collect taxes, and how much went out when somebody asked for a reimbursement. So yes, absolutely.
And we also have a website now that this will, if I'm not mistaken, this will be posted on the website. So people that's not here, that couldn't make it at this time, they can watch this whole video of what we're talking about now. And we keep the website updated on anything new going on. So log into our website, watch it regularly, and you'll see what we're doing.
All right. So what if the economic benefits are not achieved? What's the risk to the neighborhood?
If no money goes into the fund, then we have no money in the fund, and we're no worse off today than we were yesterday. If development happens and we collect this money, then we can do nice things. If we have the money, we can do nice things with it. Otherwise, there's no project that we have earmarked for this that the project's going to go away if it doesn't happen. This is, we know things are happening. We know development is coming. This is just a way to capture some of that tax dollars to help the area. So again, if everybody opted out, we wouldn't collect a single dime on it, and we'd have a TIF fund that didn't have anything in it. If everybody stays in the fund and it builds up over time, we can use it to widen roads, put in sidewalks, have developers do nicer things, and reimburse them for those kind of things. So that's all this does.
And you will see what's in the TIF. And so if we had $100,000 in the TIF, you could come to us and say, could we do this? And then we talk about it. So, but right now we have no money to do anything.
We'll come up with a 5-year plan on what projects we want to do and start earmarking them and put budgets to them and those kind of things. So that's how that would work.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Quinn?
Yeah, I got two more questions.
And then I'll get you.
I mean, so let me just make a statement. I mean, you said that you could require developers to do better things. Given what happened in Leonard Park, especially with Kennebrook, I mean, you took the bond and the drainage hasn't been fixed at all. Now we have a situation on Genesee where we get Wayne Combs has gone on excavation and put all that material on Earl Avenue, and there was nothing that's happened with that. The county, the town, EPA, all these people are involved. It's still there. It hasn't been destroyed. Nothing has happened. So why would we have faith that you're now going to encourage more development to come in here and expect that we're going to have any relief whatsoever, when you can't even take care of the developers who are there now? And as I understand it, Wayne Holmes says, well, it's not my problem. It's a subcontractor. So he gets a permit, and his sub does whatever he wants, and it's not his problem. It's not whose problem. You make it a neighborhood problem, and you never fix the problem. So why should we be encouraged if you now want to set up more incentives for developers to come in and only wreak more havoc in the neighborhood?
Well, I will tell you, when I served on city council, when a developer came in that didn't behave and asked for other things, I was a no vote on the development. I'm pro-development. That's what I do for a living. But I want good developers. I want good stewards of land. I want them taking care of drainage. I want them taking care of things. If there are developers that come in and don't do a good job, we don't give them incentives. We don't do, I won't vote for incentives for somebody like that. And the incentives would come from this TIF money. This is some money that we could give somebody to, incentivize doing some development, that kind of thing. Somebody Mr. Quinn, I've only been here since April, but you have my word that bad players will not be treated nicely.
And the EPA is not going to touch it. We already know that.
Right.
So
So you're telling us to have faith in you, yet at the same time we have a current problem that remains unresolved, as well as the prior problem after you've actually taken the bond money from Kendrick, and those drainage problems haven't been resolved either. So there's no faith here, all right? Gentlemen, you have to understand there's no faith. Plus, you've been contracting this thing now for 4 months, and then you go and you drop a letter with no map, and then tell people, I got to do this thing within, you know, 45 days, and you're having a hearing 4 days before the end. All right? Somehow or other, you've got to be able to demonstrate something different to us, because we've been on the wrong side of this equation for a very long time. I've lived in this park for 7.5 years, and you also said, the Montrose guy said, that money that comes out of the increased tax value in Leonard Park can be used other places in the township. So that makes us feel real good, all right? So I'm leaving it to you to actually try and convince us that you can do something different than what you have done in the past. Because right now, there is no faith. That's all I have to say.
Okay. And I appreciate that. The first time I heard about the Wayne Holmes grading issue was last Wednesday, Thursday, when I called you. And as soon as I hung up with you, I called Roger to get some background on it. And again, I suggested some of the things you'd already tried to do with the Ohio EPA, but they don't have an NOI permit on the other site where they dumped it. We've actually reached out to Franklin County, the people that actually hold the permit. We can hold up final occupancy. We can try and hold up some things like that. Again, this is what they do for a living, and they're pretty smart at it. So again, they dumped it on a site that doesn't have an NOI, so I can't go after their NOI. Which is an EPA permit. And again, as soon as I hung up with you, I called Roger and asked him these same questions, and he's aware of them, and he's tried to do, again, things through the county, through the EPA, and those kind of things. I will tell you, somebody that treats our township like that, again, won't be looked favorably upon when I have to vote on something. And we just had some developers come in that it wasn't even in the township, came in and said, hey, we want to build this, but, you know, it's mutual aid and those kind of things. And again, I got behind that because it seemed like a good project and those kind of things. But again, if they come in and they're asking for something from me and they're not behaving in the township, I'm not going to support the project. And you have my word on that. So, Roger will tell you that I called the second I hung up with you the other day, Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we talked last week. So, I appreciate the background you've done on the things you've tried to do. I came up with the same ideas you'd already tried, as you recall from our phone conversation. But like I said, I've only been here since April. I'm trying to do what I can, and like I said, this was something that we identified as a way to possibly help some of these issues. So anyway.
I think you might have answered my question, but so someone who's coming in to develop, you could use some of the TIF money.
Right. Right now, one of the things that Roger and I have talked about with the county is they came in and said, do you want all this new development to have sidewalks? And the problem with that is, you know, somebody will put it 1 foot behind the right-of-way, somebody else will put it 3 foot behind the right-of-way, and all of a sudden it doesn't match up from property to property, or you got three pieces that have it and the next three don't, and those kind of things. So we've actually looked at, instead of them building it during construction, putting it into a fund so that we can go through and put it all in and get sidewalks on one whole street when we get enough money, those kind of things. Or we can use that money as what they call in-kind, which is our contribution to a grant. And so we're asking for a $500,000 grant, and we're going to give you $50,000 of our own money. It's kind of seed money for the project, those kind of things. But when you have in-kind money, that helps get those other things. So that's what we can use this stuff for.
To do nicer projects. Nice things. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. And again, like I said, you know, a typical 4 foot wide sidewalk is required. That's the standard. Well, we might want, you know, if it's a corner lot or it's a business, rather than just a straight 4 foot walk, maybe we want a 5 foot or 6 foot walk, nicer ramps, maybe some brick inlay, maybe a planter or something to make it look nice, some street appeal, those kind of things. We can ask people to do that, and they can say no, and then we can vote no on the project. But instead of that, what we can do is say, we understand that you're required to put 4 foot walks. If we get 5 foot walks, a little more accessibility, those kind of things, we'll pay for the extra and you can get reimbursed out of the TIF. When you build this thing and you build up the fund with your increased taxes, we'll pay you back for what you did extra. And so that's a way. And again, it doesn't come out of our budget, doesn't come out of their budget. It's, again, they get paid back later. We are talking with that. MORPC is talking about putting sidewalks all up and down Stelzer and all of the, they wanted all the side roads and everything else to be walkable. It's a big thing with walkability and bus lines and all that kind of stuff. So there are more and more. The new COTA line that just went through the last election, there's going to be a lot of projects. Most of them, the first three or four years, are going to be all of that mainline stuff for COTA. But after that's done, all that tax money is still going to be there for maintenance and things. But once it's in line, the main lines and the infrastructure, that stuff's going to be available for, again, other funds, other projects. And so, yeah, we're absolutely going after those kind of things and try and get – and, again, there's nothing worse than having – you know, you walk three places and then there's an empty lot that doesn't have a sidewalk, and you got to stroll and you turn around, you got a wheelchair, you turn around, you get to go back. So, yes, we want to look at that. And Roger and I have tried to figure out ways to do that, different mechanisms to get the developers that are doing this, make them pay into it. Again, if we don't have all of the stuff being done at one time, we have them give us the money instead of what it would cost to put it in. We have them give us that money and it goes into a fund. We would keep track of that fund, and that would only be used to put sidewalks in. So that's something the city of Columbus does, and so that's something we're looking to do. So things like that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I understand development and real estate. I know things are happening. I bought a few lots over in Harlem. I think I talked about it. Things are happening in areas. This is about to happen. So, as a homeowner, what's the incentive for opting in? I mean, you guys are talking about all the things that are going to happen. Is there a committee for us, for the homeowners, to sit in and say, hey, we would like to see this happen. We would like to see this happen in our community, or is that already decided? In addition to that, incentives for us developers. Are we keeping certain developers out? Because I know some want to come in and build some affordable housing in the area. That's not going to help the property value. So what is your stance on that? What is the strategic plan in regards to long-term?
We would love for you guys to have a committee, and then you can come to us with your thoughts. But we want residential. We don't want multifamily. We want individual houses on every lot that's there. And then when it comes to, like Jamie said, we want to keep everything uniform. So if we tell the builders, well, I'm not going to put a 5-foot walkway. Well, we want 5-foot. Put that money that you would be doing for 4-foot into that fund. And then as we build that fund up, then we can put 5-foot walkways in. And then it'll be uniformed.
So again, if it annexes into the city of Columbus, then it becomes their issue. And again, we don't get a say on what they can do it, whether we want it or not. So there was actually some workforce housing that went in, and we looked at the project. And again, it was township adjacent. Again, it would be mutual aid, and I think it was formerly Mifflin Township, and so we were responsible for serving with fire. So they came to us with it, and we looked at the project. At the end of the day, if it's in the city of Columbus, if it's going to get in, we can't stop it. That's we're kind of – we can protest very strongly and write a letter, but that's about as far as it goes. They say, you know, thanks for your input, and they do whatever they want. So, again, when I was in Gahanna, there was a project. Again, it was in the school district, and it was mutual aid to the police, and so – you know, we got a courtesy letter that said, hey, we're doing this project. And it was – everybody wanted to say no, but it wasn't our land anymore. Once it goes to Columbus – yep, city of Columbus, yep. Yeah, so.
I know this – we're getting into the annexing thing. I know it's a little off topic.
Yep.
My thought, and I don't even know where I got it from, that when they come through the area that you have in this block, pretty much – it's available to every lot in there, even though some of the areas they didn't go down. The developers can go down and get it, correct? They can go down the easement and get – because I guess they tap some of them short. And some
I'm not sure if water serves the entire area. Roger, do you know?
So anywhere that there's not water service, the improvement would be up to the developer. But there is areas where it can be extended. So wherever it stopped, they can pick up.
So this entire gray area has basically water and sewer available?
I'm going to say yes. I wasn't here when the water was installed. I can tell you that anything down Stelzer Road obviously is going to have that option.
The reason I was trying to clarify that a little bit was because I thought it did. I thought it was covered. At that point, what leverage does the city of Columbus have to come and take that annex without permission?
They don't. Again, if it's county provided water, they don't. So
this is a pretty safe area unless someone comes in right along Stelzer Road, yeah. Say Agler and Stelzer, and wanted to do something, and they said, and it, what here is not big enough, they had to get a new supply. Right? That's the only way they.
Right.
So they couldn't just come in and take the entire. They could take the frontages basically. And basically, for all purposes, turn it into Columbus. But
yeah.
Even though it wouldn't all go in.
You'd have a Columbus corridor along the east side, yes. But, yeah. No, and again, if there's already water service and sanitary service from the county, no, they can't. The city cannot force you. The city of Columbus cannot force you into it. But,
All right, I was just trying to make sure I understand other things correctly. Simply this, the whole money going into the TIF. So today. Look, I'm going to throw a number out. I don't have any idea whether it applies anywhere or not. If you got a house that's worth $150,000 in there today, you pass this, put this into existence, and they come in and they build three more houses next door that are $450,000. All of those homes would be automatically go into the full amount would go into the TIF, correct?
The if they were on empty lots?
Yes.
Yeah, so the empty lot next door is worth, say, $20,000 or whatever it is. The $450,000 house, the new valuation, the difference between the new valuation and the existing land, that would
go into the
taxes on that would stay here and go into the TIF.
So 75%. We all know this, so this shouldn't surprise anybody. By default, if that happens, three houses go in next door. In the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to get reevaluated, and your taxes are going to go up a little bit.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily, but yeah, we have no control of that.
So property is going to continue to go up slightly.
Yes.
So
yes.
Anything that the other property, the existing homeowner there, at 160, anything over the 160 value would go into the TIF at that point.
Nate, again, we're freezing the value today.
Yep.
So the auditor comes in next month or next year and says, yep, your house is worth twice as much as it was. We capture that delta.
You capture that money and get a larger percentage for the township.
The township, yes.
Of the extra, but not the regular.
Which would allow for the young lady's question of why don't we have streetlights in this town? That would make it easier to
get we can get nicer things. If we had some money, we can get nicer things. Absolutely. And it doesn't cost you anymore because again you owe those taxes to the auditor. It's just where they get sent to. You write the check and you send it in and they give it to different people instead of keeping it here.
Right.
Good.
Just make sure that I'm clear. And obviously, you know, I think TIFs have been, the TIFs that I'm aware of, is only to Easton use TIFs to build what we see today. And Over the Rhine in Cincinnati also had a big TIF fund that made that neighborhood beautiful and values increased. And it's wonderful. So for me, TIFs are generally the thing. But I've heard you say the developers come in, we use it as an incentive. I get that. But is that the only, what about the residents that are saying, you know, because I think ideally a developer comes in and what you do is you incentivize them because whatever it is that they want to do is going to benefit some bigger majority of the community that's already there. So it's not like it's just benefiting those 8 houses that they're going to build. It's benefiting everyone, which I get that part. But my question is, how can the residents, and I think maybe you tried to answer this, just come to these regular meetings to have influence on how that money is used. Say there isn't a developer and we just have money sitting in the pot 3 years from now, what do we do with it? We have some influence
on
where that
of course goes. That you do. And that's what I mean, if you guys want to get together and form a committee, and then you have a representative for that committee, and you come to us, we're going to sit down with you, or that person, and everybody, if you want to do it, you know, as a group.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we want. We want to make Mifflin better, and be better for everybody.
You guys have some ideas. You guys are throwing out sidewalks.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have someone. Can you share those ideas with
Again, getting the drainage. We keep going in for the grant, and we keep getting told no. We don't have enough. We haven't contributed enough of our own money. You know, again, the in-kind type of stuff, that would help help us score better, those kind of things. So that's the drainage, fix the drainage. Again, sidewalks is one that we're fighting with because Franklin County wants to require the developers that are coming in asking for a permit to put them in, and we don't really have a policy to do with it, and we don't want them not meeting. You know, we don't want you know, this guy and this guy and the sidewalk doesn't meet, that kind of thing. So to give you, Easton's a great example, and over the Rhine. City closer to home, City of Gahanna has about five different TIF districts, four or five. One of them is called the North Triangle. It's basically Hamilton Road, Morse Road, to Johnstown Road. Anything that gets developed in there, that money stays in that area. I'll give you another example of one that right at 270 in Hamilton, where Moe's and Dunkin' Donuts and all that is. When that went in, one of the projects that came in was sidewalks for the neighbor behind it. That neighborhood got sidewalks all through there. When Mayor Nealon was there, he insisted on getting sidewalks in that neighborhood so those people could walk to those restaurants and to those places, those businesses. It was good for the businesses. People walked to get ice cream or walked to get a burrito or whatever. And it was good for the city because we didn't have to pay for those sidewalks. So that money, we had them put it in on day one, and then they slowly put in receipts as the fund built up. Once they got all their money back, the money continued to go up, and now nicer things can be done in that area. So that, again, closer to home, Gahanna's got four or five TIF. I mean, everybody's got TIFs. But those are Easton and over the Rhine.
Well, the Creekside neighborhood, I mean, the whole Creekside neighborhood, that's in a TIF, right?
Yeah.
So that part of that goes to pay for the parking garage and some other things, but the other thing goes to pay for the public improvements, the sidewalks, all those kind of things. So Bexley, if you go to Main Street in Bexley, that's all a TIF. It wasn't 15 years ago, and now it is. And all of those improvements, the boulevard and everything, were paid for out of that TIF, that TIF fund. So those are the kind of things that can come back.
We are limited on who we can sell. We can't not sell to somebody. Okay, we're limited in that. We can't tell them what they can put on their property. Now, zoning and those kind of things, if they're changing the zoning or changing the use, we have some say in that. But I can't sell to you and not to you, and I can't sell to you and not to you, and I can't tell you when you buy it what to put there. We can have some say on what kind of projects we want. Absolutely.
Be some leverage. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this gentleman said he bought four or five properties. He knows what's coming.
If you have the, insurance and you call yourself, LLC homemaker, you can build.
Yeah.
You know, if you get licensed through the Franklin County.
But you still have to meet all the requirements to be able to, you know, there's zoning code, there's building codes and zoning codes. You have to get a zoning certificate to submit a plan and get a zoning certificate. Then you got to get a building permit. So you still have to build, you have to meet all those things through Franklin County. So it's not like you can just go and build on your property, right? You have to get all those things and able to do it. So those are the, aside from TIF dollars, those are the precautions or the boxes around being able to build that it doesn't matter whether there's a TIF in place or not.
If we don't like the project and we vote no on the project and all those kind of things, but it's properly zoned, there's not much we can do to stop that. But we can absolutely withhold the TIF money and those kind of things. Who we give it to if we don't like the project? But
one developer.
Yeah.
And then he could distinguish who the builders would be. So that way you have like a hold on stuff and you know it's a good builder, nothing's going to come back.
Yep.
Be great if we could do that.
Again, as more and more development happens, we'll know who the good guys and who the bad guys are. And again,
you ought to know.
Yeah, I know most of them. So
a lot of times, once a builder,
there's a lot. Well, if it goes into the city of Columbus, we can't. There's nothing we have. But if it stays, in Mifflin, absolutely, we have.
We can try, but we also what everybody has to remember is Franklin County is our.
They
zoning and permitting enforcement.
Yeah, they handle.
So
they
we
handle
also them. Have to deal with Franklin County, just like everybody else does. We don't always get the results we want from them, but they have their codes that we have to follow, just like everybody else.
We just have more of a voice into the game if by going this route. You know, it's not going to be perfect, but at least we have a better chance of making it happen. And instead of the developer, like Jamie said, put a 4-foot sidewalk in, and the developer next door says, well, he put it too close to street. I'm going to move it 2 foot back, and then your sidewalks are going like this.
Yeah.
By putting the money in the TIF, then we control how the sidewalk is put in. So it kind of protects the residents.
Have you looked at like Genesee Avenue and new homes so close to the road? I don't know how there's room to have a sidewalk, but I guess
you're so, well, everything that's developed down there does go through Franklin County Economic and Development. So with your 5-foot setbacks on the side of the house, this is their code. It has nothing to do with the township. Other than it's in the township. There's things down there that we don't agree with, that I don't agree with. It's hard to build drainage when you've only got 5 foot between your house and the property line, and the houses, the new houses, are being built up as high as they are, some of those. But again, all we can do in that regard is voice our opinion, because that's the county resolution that's set. Okay, so that's, we hear you, trust me. And I've been just as aggravated, and there's others in this room that own many lots or doing a lot of building that have been set back and are truly aggravated, have lost a lot of money. But at the end of the day, being a township and not having our own permitting and our own zoning, we're just a voice, you know, that we're the middleman that tries to come in and take care of this. The issues with the dumping and people buying multiple lots and using other lots for stockpiling. Anytime you stockpile on another lot, sure, you should have a drainage plan, because you're now running water onto someone else. But if it's not an acre of land, EPA won't get involved. So they're out of the question. Okay, so now Franklin County Drainage comes in. What can they do? You know, and they can look at it and say, okay, you got to put down a silt barrier and you got to stabilize the dirt. Other than that, we can't stand out there at their property line and say, I'm not leaving until you get a loader in here and get this off the property.
We can scream and yell, but Franklin County will tell us to hush and go back.
Ultimately, I mean, all they can do is hold up the occupancy permit, those kind of, if it's not graded or damaging the neighbor, those kind of things. But again, it's up to them to do that. So a lot of that has, we're limited in what we can do. And I know, like I said, Roger's got a good relationship with him. I know most of the guys down there. So since I came on, we've had several meetings with them about drainage and about development and those kind of things. So we're doing what we can to work within the system, again, to get a better product for everybody in the township.
And we're fighting for you,
yeah.
Because, you know, right now you were forgotten for how many years? And now your area is growing, and they can't buy new land. They can't create new land. So now, all of a sudden, you're on the radar, and we're trying to protect that. Yes.
This guy wants to.
I don't know.
I don't see it.
Did you say Wyndon Avenue?
Wyndon.
No. So Wyndon's on the other side.
It's on
of the freeway.
It's on.
So
okay.
It is not in this district.
Okay.
It may be down the road if we look. Sorry.
Is there any
at the moment, no.
Okay.
At the moment, we have not talked about that area.
Okay.
This was no. This was the easy one. This was the low hanging fruit. It just made sense to get a nice big chunk,
okay,
and do this. And again, have one of these meetings and again explain to everybody what this is and why we're doing it.
We're going to grow it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other unincorporated places. What we would do is we would set up as a different one. There's also a 10-year time frame on it. So again, from the date that we approve this thing, it's in place for 10 years. After that 10 years, the money gets divvied out to everybody else. And so that's why we want to do it and capture as much as we can. And again, if we know a big project's coming in, it may be an advantage to doing an area a little bit larger than where we know the developer's going into the development and capture that and do that for the next 10 years. So again, we're limited on how long these things are in place and that kind of stuff. So again, trying to use the tools that are available, again, to benefit the, you know, again, it won't cost you anything, and hopefully it keeps the money in here to get nicer things. So
I just have a comment for all of you, basically. I am one of the developers in the neighborhood. I do care about everybody's property there, and I have a few clients that are in this room right now that probably, I would hope, would say the same thing. You have the biggest voice about bad contractors. I'm actually creating a board in Central Ohio right now to combat bad contractors. If you want to complain, if you want to voice your opinion, which I would hope all of you do, call Franklin County, email Franklin County, call the mayor, call anybody that will listen about those bad contractors that are doing bad things. Kendrick did a very bad thing to your neighborhood, and he should be punished for that. And they're taking care of that. But you guys are the biggest voice when it comes to bad contractors. And as one, and as a developer in your neighborhood, I really, really stress that you do that. You contact Franklin County about what's going on in the neighborhood right now, the bad stuff, or the good stuff. Either way, both ways. They love to hear both. Just like as myself, I want to hear bad things that we do and good things. And that goes for anybody and everybody in this room. Second, as far as annexing into Columbus, there's been multiple developers try to do it, and they got denied, just so you know that, in your neighborhood. They were going to build apartments. They were going to build townhomes. They got denied. So annexing into Columbus, Columbus wants to annex a lot of places. For some reason, they don't want to annex into your neighborhood, which is a very good thing for you, for all of you. Your taxes will go up. There's a lot of things that will be good and bad. Columbus is a very nice place. I built there also. But at the same time, where you're at is you guys are the perfect little location for everything. You have great schools and you have low taxes, so it's a great neighborhood. So
that's all. Now, dovetail what was saying, what Kevin was pointing out too. This format right here is the best way to get things done. Now, you know, going back on the history of this thing, COVID really put a dent, because we used to have 20 people every meeting sitting in the seats and giving their opinions. And, you know, we appreciate that. We like you to come here when you have something. And as the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? And if we don't know you have a problem, how we can deal with it. So you're welcome to come to any meeting, as Kevin pointed out.
Yeah. And we have the website now.
A website.
And, you know, you can throw questions that way, or when our meetings are. So we're trying to be as open, and we're trying to build and make Mifflin bigger and better. That is our goal. That's the three of our goals, and that's what we want to do.
So we do have a newsletter that's been put together. Becky in our office has put that out, and it's kind of an internal thing, but again, it gets published to the website. And again, the minutes are all available. Our agenda and our minutes are available. Once we get that financial statement put together, that'll be part of that. So again, you can see where the funds are and, you know, which fund has money, those kind of things. And, you know, the chief will tell you he'll come and ask for a piece of apparatus that costs millions of dollars and takes 3 or 4 years to build. And so, again, we do that kind of planning for those kind of things. So, yes, absolutely.
We try to cut off mailing things to save costs. Yeah. So that's why we have the website.
Yeah.
So everybody can go to – I mean, that's today's age, is go to a website. Yeah. Email me.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. We have the meetings the first Monday and the third Tuesday, unless for whatever reason holidays will change it, but it will be posted that it's being changed. So, everybody's welcome. Send your, you know, however you want to communicate. You can do it online or whatever. Ma'am, I saw your hand.
You said exactly what I was going to say. A listserv would be nice. Just something that doesn't cost you any money, where you send something and say, hey, the minutes have been posted, or this financial statement.
Yeah. So, and again,
has been posted, so we don't just have to keep checking the website every day, but just an email listserv that we can opt in and say, hey, I want to get the information.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything, and we can know when to check the website for that.
One of the things I was frustrated with the city when I was there, the schools get everybody's email when their kids sign up. The schools, the parks would ask, hey, can I have your email? And a couple people would give it, and the police would get when they did something, and you know, from community service or things, and they don't share their lists because they didn't sign up for the parks, so they don't want to know about the people that sign up for the police don't want to know about the parks. And I guess if you guys want to leave us your email again on the sign-in sheets or something else, we'll absolutely make a list and again let you know. Email lists are easy. You may get tired of us communicating with you, but again, it's easier to delete an email if you get too many of them. But anyway.
Well, that's why we're going to put this online, so yeah. The people that could not make it or could not be online, they can watch this.
Well, and again, it's not an opt-in, right? Unless we hear from you that you don't want to be in it, you're going to be in, right? So they've all, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it'll be online so they can check in, or they can check in with any of us as well.
Okay.
Folks, I apologize.
Go ahead. He has to leave and pick up his child.
No, I got to pick up all 13 of my children. We're going to wrestle tonight. I'm the coach over at the high school. So
okay.
My bus is leaving in about
10 minutes. Okay. $5 and 15 minutes.
Mammy had a question.
Yeah, I'd like to know what Midland Township is.
You ready to go?
I know what you're going to do with all the property today.
Midland Township, we acquire property through Atama.
We acquired some properties through COSIC, who is Franklin County's land bank. As of right now, we don't have any plans for those. The township does own a couple properties in Leonard Park, if you're referring to Mifflin Boulevard there. Yeah. Armuth, correct. Yeah, we do have those. There's not been any discussion on what we're going to do with those. We maintain them right now, and that's where we are.
So right now, we acquire land. We have purchased property for like the fire department, for growth of the fire department. We bought a piece of property on Carpenter before we found this building. And we were going to build a building on there for what we have here. That is up for sale now. We don't want it. So we don't want to hold on to property. We're not in the real estate business. We don't go out looking for land to buy and sit on. We acquire land, we have to maintain it. Roger goes out and cuts about 12 properties that we have acquired. Now, we're thinking about eliminating those because hopefully they get developed. That's something that we're in the discussions about. But we don't just go out and buy land because it looks good and sit on it.
How many parcels do you have? Because I know you have a lot.
Right now we have about 12 parcels that have been acquired. And I just have a copy of all of them, and I'm going to sit down. I mentioned it to Mr. Leesburg. I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Angelou about it, but the thought process is maybe we'll just sell them, put them up for sale so they can be developed. We wouldn't be the developer. We would sell it to
a developer.
Or we would sell it to you if you would want to buy it. If you would want to buy it. Well, we would get a realtor, and we would most likely put it on the website that we contacted this realtor. These are the properties. Then you would call the realtor like you would do anybody anytime, and then say, "I'm interested in this piece of parcel on this address."
Would you put that on the email that you were talking about? Hey, this is going to be a partial
for sale? We would probably put it on the website.
On the website,
and it would have the realtor that is going to represent selling the property, because we have no need for the property anymore. Yeah.
And we've seen some ins and outs, and nothing. What concerns me, I think I've seen you over there before. I might have talked to you.
Probably have. So he is everywhere.
What's going on with the creek? I mean, I see things in it. I see the guardrails down, and I see it's up.
So the creek, in regards, that creek is actually a petition ditch. It's called Mason Run Watershed. It starts at Easton, goes clear past the airport. The petition ditch or petition ditches are handled by Franklin County. Where that comes through and crosses over and you see guardrail and you see the other side of the petition ditch, and half of Mifflin Boulevard is all the state of Ohio's right away. So we found out 2 years ago that the state of Ohio never turned over Mifflin Boulevard, or the part that you see now is paved, that was never turned back over to Mifflin Township. We got a hold of them, found out that it was not ours, said, hey, the guardrail's down. The road's in despair. It needs fixed. What can we do about it? It took 2 years. This all happened during COVID. 2 years. They come in. We'll take care of it. A week later, he calls me back. Good news. Your road's going to get chip sealed, and you're going to get a new guardrail. Then we're going to come in, and we're going to take the Forester, and we're going to clean up Mason Run. A week later, he calls me back. I got good news and bad news. Good news is we're going to pave Mifflin Boulevard in this section. We're going to fix the guardrail, but we're going to keep it. We're not going to give it back to you. So the state has kept that. So you guys have talked about a noise barrier in that area. Anything that's done in that area would be through the state.
Because I own the house right on the guardrail, and it's right there.
Yeah. So a lot of that right away on both sides of the road, even on the west side of Mifflin Boulevard, was set back for the state as far as their
road. So, 15 minute maybe.
Can you handle it the rest of the way?
Okay. Thank you.
So the work that you're talking about now that's going on.
Oh, hold on, Dick. I need to vote to get out of a public hearing. I have to just to.
You can keep talking.
Close the meeting. I need two votes, and he needs to leave also. I'm going to close the meeting, and then we'll stay and talk. But you're just going to roll me. The other two had to leave. So I'm going to make a motion that we close the meeting. It's now, I use military, 1620 hours. You have a roll call?
Mr. Kavner?
Yes.
Mr.
I second the motion, and yes.
Okay. We are closed. All righty. Thank you, everybody online. We're going to shut it down here. We can stay.
So